Back now with Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Okay, Madeline, here's a question for you. If you could have dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
You. No. we already have breakfast together.
True,
that's enough. Okay.
True.
I would love to sit down and have a really interesting conversation with Vladimir Putin and just ask him what's going on with him and his desire to hold on to power forever.
Good answer.
Or maybe Charo.
And that's another answer. My personal choice would be Jon Stewart of Daily Show fame. And John, if you're listening, dinner's on me anytime. Name the date.
Okay, well, forget about dinner, forget about dates. Del Wilber, who writes about aviation for The Washington Post, he's a private pilot. He got to spend some time with his hero, Chuck Yeager. Chuck Yeager, in 1947, was the first person ever to fly faster than the speed of sound. Del Wilber flew with Chuck Yeager. He survived his flight with him, but just barely, and here's his report.
Chuck Yeager hasn't softened with age. I learned this quickly standing on a small airstrip in Northern California. I'm waiting for him, microphone in hand.
If you don't take that damn thing, quit sticking it in my face. I want to throw you off the field.
The 84-year-old is standing in front of me wearing jeans, pulled all the way up to his belly button, and an Air Force baseball cap. I'm eager to ask him about being a World War II fighter ace and about flying rocket planes and about breaking the sound barrier, but he's not interested.
Do you like flying as much as you used to?
No. I never did like flying. How's that grab you? We're concentrating on flying, so let's quit asking questions.
Okay.
We head into a nearby hangar to borrow his buddy's plane, and I watch Yeager pull a dipstick out of the single-engine Husky to check the oil.
Doesn't run very good without it.
This is the guy from The Right Stuff, but he's not the least bit sentimental. He's flown some of the fastest and most famous planes ever made. We wheel the plane out. He slips easily into the cockpit. I bash my head on the wing.
This thing will cut you to pieces.
And we're off on our tour of the rugged mountains of the Sierras.
Boy, you can sure see a long ways.
We're puttering along at 100 miles an hour. I know he's flown a lot faster than that.
I flew the SR-71 a lot, 3.26 Mach or 2,300 mile an hour.
He says it so casually. 2,300 miles per hour is faster than most bullets. That is New York to Los Angeles in less than an hour.
Boy, it sure is smooth, isn't it? Beautiful.
We dip down into a valley. Yeager sits in front of me in the two-seat cockpit. The last person who flew with Yeager paid more than $90,000 to charity auction for the honor. He's agreed to fly with me for the cost of fuel. He never explains why. As a pilot, I would love to take the stick, but I know I shouldn't ask, and I don't. I ask him about his career in breaking the sound barrier. His responses are brief.
Breaking the sound barrier, it opened up space for us and put us ahead of the rest of the world in aeronautical knowledge. See that mountain over there?
Yep.
The airport's just to the left of it.
Okay.
We head into land.
Zapata County, Yellow Husky, Quebec Romeo, leaning downwind, runway 25, full stop.
We touch down with barely a bump.
I don't know, that seemed like a pretty good landing. If you're going to walk away from a landing, it's a good landing. If you use the airplane the next day, it's an outstanding landing.
We walk over to a small bench and chat. He watches the planes flying overhead. I try to get him to talk about flying. He ends up talking about religion and how he doesn't need God in the airplane.
It was really difficult for, you know, fanatic churchgoers to understand God can't help me. I'm the only one that can help me. You want to give up and go make a smoking hole, or you want to save yourself? Make a smoking hole, you pray all the way down, you know?
He says he didn't accept the X-1 sound barrier flights for the glory. So why did he do it?
Duty. See, I have to use that word because you don't understand what the hell duty is. And when I was picked to fly the X-1, it was my duty to fly it. I did, so.
When do you think you'll have to hang up your wings and stop flying?
You keep asking speculation questions, and I don't speculate.
But you won't miss it, you said.
No. I can walk away from airplanes today, and it doesn't make any difference to me. I got other things to do, like fishing and hunting. And
why still fly?
To get someplace to hunt and fish.
The general thumps on the table. I just stare at him for a few moments and ponder what he said. Chuck Yeager can give up airplanes just like that? I'm not sure I believe him. Later, I follow him into the parking lot. As he drives off, I read the license plate in the back of his family SUV. It says Bell X1A. The Bell X1 is the plane that broke the sound barrier. For NPR News, I'm Del Wilber.
So what was it like to watch Chuck Yeager in the Bell X-1 on that day 60 years ago? Commentator Joe Dion is a commercial airline pilot, and he tracked down a guy who was there.
When I noticed that the 60th anniversary of the breaking of the sound barrier was coming up, I knew there was one man I had to talk to. He's the pilot's pilot, a man known the world over as a magician in the cockpit and the best stick and rudder pilot who ever lived. And he was there on that historic day. Of course, I'm talking about Bob Hoover.
I knew it was history being made.
Bob was the chase pilot who watched as Chuck Yeager broke the speed of sound.
And of course, I obviously was very disappointed that I wasn't in the cockpit.
But Bob Hoover was supposed to be in the cockpit that day. He had been the Air Force's first pick for the job. That is, until he did a little unscheduled flyby for a friend.
But then the colonel called me in. He said, "Did you buzz the Springfield Airport on such and such a day?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I certainly did." And he said, "Well, I know two things about you, young man." He said, "You're honest because there was only one jet that flew in the whole United States that day. The other thing I know about you is that you're totally irresponsible." And he said, "I don't know who I'm going to replace you with, but you're going to be his backup and chase pilot. Can you handle that?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I can." "Do you know Captain Chuck Yeager?" "Well, that's who you're going to be supporting." I was tickled to death because Chuck was one of the few pilots I really felt was highly qualified to do just about anything.
Was Chuck Yeager any more disciplined than you?
Of course not.
So Chuck Yeager became the man who made the first supersonic flight. As for Bob, over the next 60 years, Bob Hoover went on to distinguish himself time after time as the world's greatest aerobatic pilot. He invented daring routines and thrilled audiences with unforgettable maneuvers, like pouring a cup of tea with one hand while slowly rolling the airplane with the other. But in the end, it's Chuck Yeager whose name is in the history books alongside the Wright brothers, Charles Lindbergh, and the rest. But Bob Hoover has no regrets.
I feel like I'm the most fortunate person in the world to have known all of my boyhood heroes. Charles Lindbergh, friend of mine, Jimmy Doolittle, and the list goes on and on. But it's been a real good ride, I tell you it has.
Well, if you've met all your boyhood heroes, you know exactly how I feel now.
Commercial airline pilot Joe Dion, you can listen to his podcast at his website, flywithjoe.com.
And over at our website, npr.org, there is more on Chuck Yeager's historic flight and his flight with reporter Del Wilbur.